I'm sure my reaction was the same as everyone else's on the planet when I heard the news. Here in Edmonton, I was listening to the 6 o'clock morning news broadcast, and that's so my day began with this startling news of the Pope's resignation. And of course, the rest of the day, like for many bishops, was just taken up with seemingly endless media requests, which was an instant indication of the worldwide importance and significance of such a decision. I've had time, as has everyone else, to reflect upon this. My initial reaction emotionally was one of sadness, because like so many, I've grown to love and admire this man for his extraordinary gifts of leadership, and it's certainly sad to see that drawn to an end. At the same time, I recognize, as do others, that no one knows the responsibilities of the Pope from the inside except the Pope himself, and he himself knows his own limits. He knows the extent of the incredible burden that's placed on his shoulders, and he's come to this particular decision. And, of course, we have to respect his judgment. What I have found is that among the people here locally, and it seems to be reflected in media reports across the board, just a real sense of admiration for this step, which is recognized universally as a very courageous one and as one filled with faith. Interestingly, celebrating Mass this morning, the refrain from the readings was, "Blessed is the one who places his hope in the Lord, places his trust and faith in the Lord." And I was speaking with a bishop that I was celebrating Mass with this morning, and he said, "I couldn't help but think how that applies to our Holy Father. Here is a man who, in this particular circumstance, has placed his entire trust, faith, hope in the Lord who loves and guides this church that he has created by his death and resurrection, entrusting that all to the Lord as he takes this step." The other thing that occurs to me reflecting upon this is just how consistent this action is with the words that the Pope has spoken, not just as Pope, but throughout his entire career as a theologian. And by that I mean the teaching significance of this action. He has been one of the world's and history's great, great teachers of the faith. And this action teaches us something. He spoke of how his decision has been made after long time of thought, examining his conscience before God. And here he is putting into action something that has been central to his teachings for years, the centrality and the role of conscience, and how we need to listen to it and follow its dictates. And if there's anything that our society today needs, particularly our Western society, is this particular example of lifting up the centrality and importance of conscience. In Western society, conscience has grown numb. It's fallen asleep, and it needs to be awakened. And here, by this action, he's teaching us just that. The other that he's teaching is the need to understand and live within our limits. And that is another particular trial, and not just for Western society, but for human nature ever since the original sin, where we tried to reach out beyond our limitations, beyond our creatureliness. And he, by acknowledging his limits at this particular time, is saying, no, limits are part of our human reality, and we need to respect them and live within them. And as we do, placing our trust in the wisdom and in the providence and in the love of God. The final thing that occurs to me right now is how he is showing that the papacy is not a position of power, but a position of service, one that needs to be exercised by a very humble office holder. And in humility, he has examined his life and said, you know, I don't feel that right now I can continue this office of service with the limitations that are constraining me. And in humility and out of love for the Lord and for the church, he is making this decision as one which continues his particular service of the church. It also teaches us that we're not to be clinging to what we might see as symbols, offices of power. But the human person who trusts in the Lord and follows the Lord is called at each and every moment to let go of attachments, to let go of worldly symbols of power or prestige, and just have oneself dedicated fully to serving the Lord with the entirety of oneself. So this the more that people reflect upon this absolutely courageous and faith-filled decision of the Holy Father, the more we are taught and the more we learn. And this is just perfectly in continuity with the whole life of a whole life dedicated to teaching God's people.
Thank you, Archbishop Smith. And you were able to pen a letter to the Holy Father on behalf of the Canadian bishops. Can you tell us, just give us a brief idea of what you had to say to the Holy Father on this momentous occasion?
Well, first and foremost, we wanted to express our thanks to the Holy Father. He has been a great, exceptional shepherd for the Universal Church. And when I have met the Pope a few times in my role as president and other bishops who have met him in various capacities have always said, and I have always said, that the Pope never ceases to receive us graciously, humbly, as a real gentleman, as a pastor, as a father. And we always have left audiences with him feeling buoyed, feeling very much encouraged by the words that he has given us. So he has been a great source of encouragement and support to the bishops in Canada, and we wanted, first of all, to thank him. At the same time, we wanted to express our love for him and our admiration for him. Our admiration not just for the beautiful exercise of the Petrine ministry that he has given to the Church, but also for this wonderful manifestation of his faith and of his courage and of his trust in God that has animated his decision to relinquish the Petrine ministry at this time. And finally, of course, we wanted to assure him of our prayerful support as he steps into this new stage in his life, indeed this new stage in the life of the Church, and he will never be far from our thoughts and from our prayers and certainly will remain in our hearts.
Again, thank you, Archbishop. And one last thing, and you've kind of hinted at this already in your responses. You've had a chance to get to know Pope Benedict in a way that many people haven't. You've had a chance to meet him and speak with him personally. And you've been very involved, as all bishops have, in sharing the ministry of Peter with the Universal Church. Can you tell us a little bit about your personal feelings? You know, how are you handling what's really remarkable news? I think all of us are still in a state of shock, but can you tell us a little bit about how you're feeling and what all of this means to you?
Well, as I said earlier on, I must confess to a sadness at this. He has been a great, great shepherd and have been a great model and an example to all of us, and I'm sorry to see that come to an end. At the same time, like others, I'm seeking to learn from his example of humble service, of surrender to the Lord, of making all of his decisions in the light of a well-examined conscience before God. What I will always treasure and remember is the way that he received me whenever I met him. We can well imagine that at any given moment there must be 100 different issues going through the mind of the Holy Father, weighing upon his heart, and so on. And yet, invariably, when I have been with him, and others say the same, he is so focused upon you that you feel like you're the only person on the planet. You're the only person that he is concerned with at this time. His intense presence to the moment, his intense presence to the personal encounter with the one who is before him, is very striking. And it's a beautiful manifestation of his respect for the dignity and the worth of each and every human person. Each person deserves attention. In fact, it was beautiful when I met with the Holy Father last November. I was there with Archbishop Durocher, our vice president. And on that particular day when we were having our audience with him, we knew that his schedule was extremely tight. So I began our meeting by saying, Holy Father, listen, I understand that your time is very, very limited this morning, and we probably just have a few moments and so on. And before I could continue, he looked at me and he stopped me and he said, you know, you two bishops, you have come a long way from Canada for this visit. I have more than just a few minutes for you. And he gave us the time that was required before having to move off to some other event. That was just another beautiful example of his attentiveness, his concern, and that cannot help but leave any bishop feeling honored and deeply encouraged for the continued exercise of his own ministry.